So it's time for news to me. Thanks for tuning in. If you want to, the show's live, so you can join in Incom. Just SSH over to Tilde Radio, or excuse me, Anon Radio. I'm looking at something that says Tilde on it. SSH over to Anon Radio. Type com at the prompt. Then press enter. Press G for go to. And go ahead and type in Anon Radio. And press enter. You'll be in the chat. You can hang out with cool people like me and X1 and SMJ. Jazzmaz is probably in here. Looks like Ouroboroso is already here. Yeah. And then Ratsu too. And at the end of the show, at 19:30 UTC, just like always, we'll have the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. And that's a fun show. So I'm pretty excited. It'll be a good time. Let me go ahead here. Now that we've got that started up, let's go ahead and launch our good old friendly news stories. Because as time goes on, I keep trying to trim these down. Well, there's a lot of news today. So we're going to try and run through them. I alphabetized our
world news.
That's right. We've got world news. Oh, Koenig and X1, everybody. Hello. Oh, and F-Fog. Oh, yeah. We got a full house today. So let's get it going. First up, Azerbaijan is warns over pipelines as Nagorno-Karabakh tensions rise. So this is from Reuters. And Azerbaijan accused Armenia on Wednesday of trying to attack its gas and oil pipelines and warned of a severe response as tensions rose sharply around a fraying ceasefire in the mountain enclave of Nagorno-Karabakh. Armenia denied the claim and said Azeri forces were trying to seize control of the tiny territory, which is governed by ethnic Armenians despite Saturday's humanitarian ceasefire. Russia tried to silence the angry rhetoric and appealed to both sides to observe the ceasefire it brokered over the region, which is internally recognized as part of Azerbaijan. Both Moscow and Turkey also exchanged recriminations over the fighting that has killed more than 600 people since September 27th, the majority of them Nagorno-Karabakh military personnel. So that's from Reuters. But we also have intel or news from France 24 on this topic. Armenia and Azerbaijan have accused each other yesterday on Tuesday of violating the ceasefire and agreed 3 days ago to quell fighting over the enclave, drawing warnings from International Group of Humanitarian Crisis. The Russian brokered truce is buckling despite mounting calls from world powers to halt the fighting, with U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo among those urging greater commitment to the ceasefire terms. Turkey and Armenia exchange recriminations, there's our favorite word, I guess, today, each blaming the other for exacerbating this crisis around the region, which is internally... Are you guys copying each other? Earlier on Tuesday, maybe they're reading the same stories. Earlier on Tuesday, a Reuters cameraman witnessed shelling in the Nagorno-Karabakh town of Martuni. A Reuters television crew in Turtur in Azerbaijan also said the city center was being shelled. Azerbaijan accused Armenia of grossly violating the humanitarian truce, which is agreed to on Saturday, to allow the sides to swap prisoners and bodies of those killed. Defense Ministry spokesman Vagif Dargiali said Armenia was shelling the Azeri territories of Goranboy and Agdam, as well as Turtur. Azeri forces were not violating the truce, he said. So, that's going on in Azerbaijan. Of course, now let's go to Bolivia. We're going in alphabetical order. This is from the World Socialist website, WSWS.org. Civil War elections in Bolivia. So next Sunday, the first general elections will be held in Bolivia since elected President Evo Morales was overthrown in a U.S.-backed military coup. I wish. Here we go. Military coup, placing in power Jeanine Añez's self-proclaimed government. The coup regime, which took power promising to call new elections within 90 days, has postponed the date of the vote three times. Tuesday, less than half of Bolivians, just 43%, believe that their vote on Sunday will be respected, according to a survey by Tu Vota Cuenta. Oh, I'm drinking iced tea today. Sorry for the noise. The broad popular rejection of the Añez government has been expressed over the past year in continuous demonstrations by masses of workers, peasants, throughout the country. In November, tens of thousands took to the street of the capital, La Paz, and other Bolivian cities to resist the coup. They are violently repressed by military forces, joined by fascist gangs like the Cochala Youth Resistance and the Cruzanista Youth Union. Linked to the ultra-right presidential candidate Luis Fernando Camacho, in two brutal episodes, the military massacred at least 23 people and left another 230 wounded, subsequently receiving legal protection from the government. So this is a bit of a longer story, as usual. It goes into a lot of detail. But check out the World Socialist website. It's an interesting news source. Just always remember, they have a strong opinion. So a lot of the news stories are a bit inflammatory sometimes. So, you know, grains of salt helps flavor everything. So let's go ahead here from Bolivia over to China. That's right. This is coming from The Guardian. A French museum has postponed an exhibit about the Mongol Emperor Genghis Khan, citing interference by the Chinese government, which it accuses of trying to rewrite history. The Chateau du Dux de Bretagne, a history museum in the western city of Nantes said it was putting the show about the fearsome 13th century leader on hold for over 3 years. The museum's director, Bertrand Guillet, said, "We made the decision to stop this production in the name of the human, scientific, and ethical values that we defend," said the Chinese authorities demanded that certain words, including Genghis Khan, Empire, and Mongol, be taken out of the show. Subsequently, they asked for power over exhibition brochures, legends, and maps. The spat comes as the Chinese government has hardened its discrimination against ethnic Mongols, many of whom live in the northern province of Inner Mongolia. The exhibit was planned in collaboration with the Inner Mongolian Museum in Hohhot, China, but tensions arose, the Nantes Museum said, when the Chinese Bureau of Cultural Heritage pressured the museum for changes to the original plan, including notably elements of biased rewriting of Mongol culture in favor of a new national narrative. The museum branded it as censorship and said it underlined a hardening of the position of the Chinese government against the Mongol minority. The consulate in Paris didn't return calls for comment. So, very interesting piece there. It does have a great photo of a statue of Genghis Khan in Mongolia. So, if you want, check it out. It's at The Guardian. And we're going to stick with The Guardian for another story here, but we're going to the Dutch. Dutch government backs euthanasia for under 12s. Shocking headline. Guardian, why would you put such a shocking headline in there? Well, I mean, it gets you to click it, I guess. The Dutch government will permit doctors to euthanize terminally ill children aged between 1 and 12 after months of debate within the ruling coalition. The country's health minister, Hugo de Jong, said a change in regulations was necessary to help a small group of terminally ill children who agonize with no hope and unbearable suffering. The government estimates that the new rules, lifting the threat of prosecution from doctors, will affect between 5 and 10 children per year who have no hope of improvement in their condition. Belgium became the first country to allow for voluntary child euthanasia in 2014, when it legislated to allow euthanasia in cases where the young patient was terminally ill and in great pain. Two Belgian children, aged 9 and 11, became the first to be euthanized in 2016 and 2017. Yeah, I totally agree. It's euthanasia. This is like such a compassionate thing. And it's so wild that it's so hotly debated, so politically charged. Intervention to end a life is also already legal in the Netherlands for children older than 12 if consent is given by the patient and their parents. Babies up to a year old may also have their lives ended with parental consent. The group of children referenced by the planned regulation currently may only be given palliative care or have their nutrition withheld to speed up their death under the current rules, with doctors facing prosecution if they take any other actions. This gap in provisions for children aged between 1 and 12 has been described as a gray area by physicians calling for change. So, anyway, I thought it was a good story, and calls it out. Let's keep on going. Let's go to France, because that starts with F. And we're about halfway through our international stories. We'll probably play a song. I feel like there's so many international news stories I'm reading now that, I don't know, I might have to just flip-flop and have International Day and U.S. Day days or something. I'm not sure. But let's keep on a rolling. Let's see what's happening. All right. So here we go. So this is from Reuters. A French court on Wednesday convicted Congolese activist Mwazulu Diabanza, Mwazulu Diabanza, of aggravated robbery and fined him 1,000 euros after he snatched a 19th century Central African funerary post from a Paris museum in June. Diabanza, who has lived in France for 20 years, belongs to a pan-African movement that is pressing France to return thousands of artworks removed from its African colonies and make reparations for acts of slavery. He told Reuters he would lodge an appeal. "It's a big joke from French justice," Diabanza said. "We will appeal to show elements that the judge has obviously missed," he added. With an associate, Diabanza He stole the carved wooden ornament from its stand in the Quai Branly Museum as a third man livestreamed the act on social media. Oh, greetings, Keith Hulu. Welcome, welcome. Oh, yeah. He was then stopped by a security guard as he made for the exit. The museum holds some 70,000 African objects, French art historian Benedict Savoy told Reuters in 2018. Diabanza faces a second theft charge for removing an artifact from a Marseille museum. He says his actions are politically justified. So this will be very interesting to see what happens, because any of the imperialist countries or colonial countries, you know, they have a lot of stolen artifacts in their museums. And, I mean, what happens when the people who used to live there come back and they come and take their property back? All right. So keep on rolling. We got France still on us. All eyes on Macron as hospital chief warns of ICU saturation due to a surge. So this is COVID news. Sorry, guys. It slipped in here. And intensive care units at Paris hospitals will be packed with COVID-19 patients. COVID-19 patients. Sorry, that was out of place. I'm reading two different things. Intensive care units at Paris hospitals will be packed with COVID-19 patients as soon as next week. That of the region's public hospital group warned Tuesday, ratcheting up expectations that President Macron could announce tougher measures to stem the surge in his Wednesday evening speech. As Europe experiences a sharp increase in COVID-19 cases, hospitalizations are also rising, sparking concerns over public health capacities as winter approaches. In the greater Paris area, a coronavirus hotspot, Martin Hirsch, the head of the public hospital group, warned that 90% of the region's intensive care beds could be filled by the end of the week. Of course, Germany can't escape the news. This is from the BBC, and the title, are you ready? Berlin ad sticks middle finger to mask rule breakers. And then it has a picture of an old lady sticking up the middle finger. And it says, "Wir halten die Corona-Regeln ein." We obey the corona rules. So Berlin's tourism authority has launched an ad campaign featuring an elderly woman giving the middle finger to people who refuse to wear masks. The raised index finger for all those without a mask reads the poster, alongside a photo of the masked woman. Visit Berlin has said the campaign is to highlight the importance of protecting the health of the elderly. But that campaign has proved controversial, with some in German call it insulting. The We Obey the Corona Rules ad, launched by the Berlin Senate and Visit Berlin, initially appeared on Tuesday in a local newspaper, but it quickly spread on social media. So this is pretty interesting. There's a long story about what's going on, but basically all of the EU is blowing up with coronavirus. It's a big outbreak. Europe, there's a... Reuters article coming out of Berlin, out of Prague/Brussels. European nations are closing schools, canceling operations, and enlisting legions of students as medics, or student medics, as overwhelmed authorities face the nightmare scenario of COVID-19 resurgence at the onset of winter. Yep, cold is coming back. With new cases hitting about 100,000 a day, Europe has by a wide margin overtaken the U.S., where more than 51,000 COVID-19 infections are reported on average every day. Most European governments eased lockdowns over the summer to start reviving economies already battered, but the return of the normal activity from packed restaurants to new university terms fueled a sharp spike in cases all over the continent. Bars and pubs were among the first to shut or face earlier closing in the new lockdowns, but now the surging infection rates are also testing government's resolve to keep schools and non-COVID medical care going. Even Pope Francis was subject to new coronavirus rules, staying at a safe distance from well-wishers at his weekly audience on Wednesday. And Lisbon football fans were unsurprised after Portugal captain Cristiano Ronaldo tested positive. Simply showed everyone was at risk of getting infected, and famous athletes were no exception. Something in Texas that's going on is bars were set to be allowed to be open at 50% capacity, but now they can be open at 50% capacity, but they have to close by 11 p.m., but restaurants can stay open till 2, and you can be a restaurant as long as you get 51% of revenue from food, and so now beers are about $3 cheaper, and you have to buy $3 worth of snacks when you buy a beer. So, it's a big mess. It's a big mess. I mean, it's kind of how it goes, I guess. I don't know. It's just one of those. I wish there was a better way to describe it, a better feeling for it. But I mean, that's kind of what happens, I guess. I don't know. It's making me sad thinking about it. Sorry. Here, let's do this. Let's not be sad. Here, let's see. No. Oh, there we go. Do I got the whole CD? I think I do. All right. We're going to do this. Oh, that's the one. All right. I'm going to play a song for you because, yeah, I just can't handle any more of this sad news right now. So I'm going to play a song called I'm a Man of Constant Sorrow. This is the Soggy Bottom Boys featuring Dan Tominski from the Oh Brother Where Art Thou soundtrack.
In constant sorrow all through his days, I am a man of constant sorrow. I've seen trouble all my days. I bid farewell to old Kentucky, the place where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and pleasure here on earth I found. For in this world I'm bound to ramble, I have no friends to help me now. He has no friends to help him now. Never expect to see you again. For I'm bound to ride that northern railroad. Perhaps I'll die upon this train. Perhaps he'll die upon this train. You can bury me sleeping in my grave, while he is sleeping in his grave.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. We're about 10 minutes away from the end of the show and the start of the Dubious Goals Committee, which has Tobe as the host. He's the chairman of the committee, and it's a good time. Hunting for golf balls, hanging out, looking at bugs, looking at insects, mushrooms, all sorts of cool stuff. Talking about robots, guitar. It's a fun show. It's all over the place. Definitely worth checking out. Of course, after the break, we're going to talk a little bit about... We're going to talk a little bit about tech news. I've got a couple of stories that I thought were interesting that involve tech companies. First up, welcome to the future. This is coming from BBC. Google reveals mineral crop inspecting robots. That's right. The robot buggies roll through fields on upright pillars so they can coast over plants without disturbing them. The goal is to collect huge amounts of data about how crops grow. Called Project Mineral, it's part of Alphabet's X company, which aims to create world-changing technology from radical moonshot ideas. In a blog post, project lead Elliot Grant said, "We hope that better tools will enable the agricultural industry to transform how food is grown." The team says its main goal is to address the world's increasing need for food and the sustainability of growing it. But current tools do not give farmers the kind of information they need. What if every single plant could be monitored and given exactly the nutrition it needed? What if we could untangle the genetic environmental drivers of crop yield? And the buggy prototype that exists looks like a 10-speed with a cart on the back of it, and it's loaded down with a bunch of computer equipment. But the headline picture is a rendering of some kind of futuristic farm landscape. So it was very, jarring to see this like very rough looking buggy kind of thing. And it's like, yeah, this is what we're working with. But anyway, it's pretty interesting. And so this is pretty good stuff here. One of the things, of course, since it's Google, you know your data is not safe. Data security was essential at every step because the last thing you want to do is have somebody hijack your farm. And the question of who owned the data was important. This big data is really important, and governments will want to have a say and control over how that is used and who gets to see it. Mineral said it was already working with breeders and farmers in Argentina, Canada, South Africa, and the United States. But there is no explicit timeline or plan to release the buggy as a commercial product. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. Twitter is suspending accounts claiming to be black Trump supporters. Yeah, so this is also from our friends at the BBC. Twitter suspended a number of fake accounts purported to be owned by black supporters of President Trump. The social media giant said the accounts broke its rules on spam and platform manipulation. Many of the accounts used identical language, including the phrase, "Yes, I'm black and I'm voting for Trump." Twitter has not specified the number of accounts suspended so far or the source of them. It said it was continuing to investigate the activity and may suspend additional accounts. The investigation was first reported by the Washington Post. And they go through kind of the timeline of how they tracked them down, got that taken care of. And of course, would be remiss if we didn't mention, this is from Neiman Lab, neimanlab.org. The new iPhone has 5G data, which will accelerate its impact on the media business. Faster speeds will enable new levels of video, AR, VR, and other Rs that haven't even been invented yet. But news products are unlikely to benefit as much as all the other apps competing for audiences' attention. And so, the best part here, sorry, I just want to be sure I keep the small one, the important part that I wanted to read. It's all interesting stuff, but let's be realistic. The apps that benefit most from 5G won't be the one from news publishers. They'll be the other apps competing for our attention, games, entertainment, and other new data-heavy ideas that haven't been thought of yet. Think about it. News stories are indeed better on today's faster 4G connections than they were on 3G, but Netflix is a lot better on 4G than on 3G. Call of Duty is a lot better on 4G than on 3G. And House Party is a lot better on 4G than 3G. Text-based news, though, and video news, just isn't as well positioned to take advantage of greater bandwidth. Whoops. Sometimes... You have the wrong focus, and then you activate things funny. Anyway, we're going to keep on a rolling. So we've got about 5 minutes to go. So that means it's time to do a, I guess we'll start. I need to make a stinger or a little thinger for that. We're going to go ahead and talk real quick and go through all the headlines that we didn't get time to talk about. And then, like I've been doing this week, I'll post a link to the OneTab publish page on Mastodon after the fact. So here we go. So France 24, Greek court sentences far-right Golden Dawn leadership to 13-year jail terms. Greek court sentenced the leadership of the extreme-right Golden Dawn party to 13 years in prison Wednesday, posing the near-maximum penalty for running a criminal organization blamed for numerous violent hate crimes. The Guardian's reporting, not just a dog bite, why India is struggling to keep rabies at bay. The government is being urged to dispel myths and ensure drugs are available and take responsibility for the millions of stray dogs. So by the time the patient young man reached Dr. Ramesh Masti at a Bengaluru hospital, it was too late to save him. After being bitten by a pack of stray dogs as he was out to buy some milk, his family had applied a paste of green chilies, then lime juice, and finally, when the wound looked gruesome, turmeric. So that's a great story there. It's a little bit long, but interesting. Reuters is reporting Microsoft's in a deal with Equinor for Norway CO2 storage project. Microsoft Corp has signed a memorandum of understanding with Norway's Equinor to explore the use of carbon dioxide storage facility as the tech firm seeks to erase its carbon footprint. And Kyrgyzstan, Kyrgyz president accepts new prime minister but delays resignation. The president accepted the appointment on Wednesday of a political opponent as prime minister, but immediately defied him by refusing to step down until a new election could be held following the popular uprising. Polish high school students strike to demand in-person classes. Thousands of people are camping outside Thai PM's office as protests escalate. This is people not liking all the restrictions on not being able to talk about the king or slander or the royal family. France is also saying, in a stunning rebuke, UN Human Rights Council rejects Saudi membership bid. Oh man, we're getting so close to the committee, I can hear it. I can hear the beeps in my mind. Uganda President hopeful Bobby Wine says security forces raided his office. Uganda pop star and presidential hopeful Bobby Wine said security forces raided his office on Wednesday and the confiscated documents, branding items, and cash amid what the opposition says is a campaign of harassment by the government. And the pandemic is leaving American Samoa residents stranded and homesick. Markayata Asiofava hasn't been home for nearly 8 months. The longest she's ever been away from American Samoa. Okay, she left the U.S. territory in February with her husband for medical treatment. They planned to fly home in March, but decided to postpone after hearing a security worker at the airport had contracted the virus. And now they're stuck. Supreme Court allows Trump administration to end census count early. So yeah, the census count's over. So good luck. Next 10 years are going to suck. Trump's defense secretary, Mark Esper, dodged questions on military involvement in the election. Yeah, big surprise there. Trump and Biden. Oh, there we go. Thanks a lot for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Thanks so much. I appreciate the feedback. I will do that. I will not do the just boring stuff. Bye! Activate!